Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Last night as I was pondering the lesson for today, that verse came to mind, and how that when they went to build the wall, the Lord was in it. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love and for your mercy. And Lord, we pray now safety and courage for fundamental Bible-believing churches that proclaim your truth. Lord, I pray that we could even have the faith of Nehemiah. And Lord, help us to be strong in our Christian walk. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Gilbert Keith Chesterton wrote, "The Bible tells us to love our neighbors and to also love our enemies, probably because they are generally the same people." Hopefully, that doesn't describe your neighbors, but unfortunately for Nehemiah, that was certainly true. His arrival in Jerusalem was a threat to Sanballat and his associates who wanted to keep the Jews weak and dependent. If you looked at Nehemiah 2, verse 10, it said, "It grieved them exceedingly that Nehemiah was there, and he was there for the cause of the Jews." A strong Jerusalem would endanger the balance of power in the region, and it would also rob Sanballat and his friends of influence and maybe even wealth. Even today, the fact that Israel exists is a great bother to those nations around them. And some of them have even declared that they would like to wipe Israel out. Warren Wiersbe writes, "When things are going well, get ready for trouble, because the enemy doesn't want to see the work of the Lord make progress." As long as the people in Jerusalem were content with their sad lot, the enemy left them alone. But when the Jews began to serve the Lord and bring glory to God's name, the enemy became active." Unquote. Something to ponder. Opposition is not only an evidence that God is blessing, but it is also an opportunity for us to grow. Listen carefully to this illustration from the Bible Exposition Commentary. Quote, "When Sir James Thornhill was painting the inside of the cupola of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, at one point he finished an area and stepped back to view it. Had he gone back one step more, he would have fallen from the scaffolding and perhaps would have been killed. Seeing the situation, an assistant seized one of the brushes and rubbed paint over part of the picture. The artist rushed forward to protect his work, and at the same time, his life was saved. When the picture of our life is not as we think it ought to be, perhaps the master artist is rescuing us from something far worse and preparing us for something far better." Unquote. Nehemiah chapters 4 through 6 describe at least 9 different tactics that the enemy used to try to stop the work of the wall. 9 different tactics. First, they attacked the Jewish people with ridicule. Second, they devised plots of war. Third, these two resulted in discouragement. Fourth, there was fear. Fifth, there was selfishness. You know, there's always selfishness that someone thinks someone else is getting a better situation or getting more for the work they're doing. A sixth, when the first 5 didn't work, they began to attack Nehemiah. And they tried to get him to compromise. Folks, too many churches today have compromised on the Word of God, feeling that they don't want to offend anybody. But you know, we find that Jesus Christ was not politically correct He called sin, sin, and he expect people to repent. Number 7, there was slander. 8, there were threats. And 9, there was a conspiracy. And we'll get to these as time allows over the next few weeks. But none of these devices worked. Nehemiah was steadfast and unmovable. And he led his people to finish the work in 52 days. Now, 52 days sometimes can seem like a long time. You ask a 6-year-old 52 days before Christmas if they're excited and can they wait, and they can hardly stand it. They can't wait. But we that are older, 52 days fly by so quickly, we wonder when did it start and why did it end so quickly? Referring to our spiritual enemy, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For we are not ignorant of his devices," 2 Corinthians 2:11. Our enemy seeks as a roaring lion to destroy us, and he does not want the work of God to go forward, be it the gospel preaching church or the people of Israel, God's chosen people. When you start building, you will be soon battling. So be prepared. Number 1, ridicule. If you would, the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall," I like the fact we builded the wall, "he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Then he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. Oh, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders.' So built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Ridicule. Verse 1, we find that Sanballat was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. British critic and author Thomas Carlyle called ridicule the language of the devil. Some people who are able to stand being shot at in war will collapse when they are laughed at. Shakespeare called ridicule paper bullets of the brain. But those bullets have slain many a warrior. Ponder this. David was ridiculed by Goliath. Religious leaders ridiculed Jesus, as did the Roman soldiers at the trial. And also those passing by as he was dying on the cross. It's easy to ridicule. Even before they began to repair the wall, Sanballat and his partners laughed at Nehemiah and his crew. In chapter 2, verse 19, "They laughed us to scorn and despised us." When you want to do something for the Lord, don't be surprised if you're not mocked. Verse 2, we find about the army of Samaria. Just a small little thought there. How big was this army? How many were there at the time that Sanballat was blasting Nehemiah and the Jews with his words of ridicule? What was his relationship with the army? Perhaps he had the army of Samaria assemble as a show of strength to frighten and intimidate the Jews. Have you contemplated how Noah must have felt as he was ridiculed and mocked for building this huge What do you call it, Noah? Oh yeah, an ark. How about Moses, who chose to stand with a bunch of slaves versus living in the house of Pharaoh? Then there was Jonathan, the son of King Saul, who chose the shepherd boy David against his father's wishes. Have you ever pondered how difficult it must have been for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to remain standing while the rest of the officials of Nebuchadnezzar bowed to the golden image? And how about Daniel, knowing that the decree had been signed that no petitions could be offered to anyone or even to a god? And yet he went to his rooms and bowing towards Jerusalem, prayed three times, knowing that they were spying. Yes, sometimes you have to stand up for what's right. And sometimes it is very difficult. Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me, they were wrong. Words can hurt. In verse 2, we find that Sanballat ridiculed the workers by calling them feeble Jews. Feeble meaning frail or weak or miserable. Second class. The people were likened to cut flowers left out of water to dry up and wither away. See, the world glories in wealth and power. Yet the Lord finds delight in using feeble instruments to get his work accomplished. If you would, keeping your place here in Nehemiah, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read a good portion of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." We're going to read in just a moment from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "When we are weak, then we are strong." The Apostle Paul has just given many things that he has endured for the cause of Christ. The beatings that he took, the stoning that he took, the fact that he had been robbed and mistreated, and he'd been part of some shipwrecks, and yet he had done it for the Lord. And then that was in chapter 11. In chapter 12, he begins by talking about a vision that he had. And now let's begin reading at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Sanballat ridiculed the work itself by asking three questions. Number one, will they fortify themselves? Number two, will they sacrifice? And number three, will they finish in a day? Will they fortify themselves? How could a remnant of Jews hope to build a wall strong enough to protect the city from invaders? Will they sacrifice? This implies that it will take more than prayer and worship to rebuild the city. The question was against the Lord Jehovah, for Sanballat was denying that God would help his people. The people oftentimes forget that the reason they were taken into captivity in the first place was because of their willful denial of the Lord Jehovah. And they began worshiping idols, and they began to even sacrifice their children. And God said, I cannot tolerate this. And he allowed them to be taken into captivity. But now he's bringing them back, because they have to come back into the land, because the Messiah is going to be born. Jesus has to be born in the land. And so they begin to come back to Israel. Then, will they finish it in a day? Suggests that the Jews didn't know how difficult the task was and would soon call it quits. It's one thing to work hard one day in manual labor. And for a lot of us, when we have finished that one day of manual labor, the next day we wake up and we have sores where we didn't know we could have sores. Final question. Sanballat ridiculed the materials that they were using. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Have you ever been working with stones and you got a finger, usually your pinky, in the wrong place and it got pinched? My sump pump had to be replaced, and I was doing some work, and I smashed my little finger, and it's all black and blue, and I'd show it to you if I could get some sympathy. But if you're working with rocks, stones, brick, you got to be careful. You get your fingers in the wrong place, it will let you know in a hurry. And the stones that they were going to use were probably taken out of rubbish heaps. And Sanballat questions their usability, but there must have been enough good material left to rebuild the walls, as Sanballat and his comrades will witness and see. Then in verse 3, it is now Tobiah the Ammonite who's going to give his 2 cents. He would ridicule the finished product. You won't need an army to knock it down, he says. A solitary fox will do the job. Though he was probably true, the wall was no match for an attack by an army. These men and women that were doing the work had faith in their God, and that would make all the difference. So how did Nehemiah respond to the ridicule? You know, we probably all at one time or another have been ridiculed for rooting for a certain team or attending a certain college or university or high school. Maybe because we bought something from a certain store and it wasn't up to snuff. We've been ridiculed. And sometimes we walk away with our proverbial tail between our legs. But how did Nehemiah respond to the ridicule? After all, the men and women that were there were watching him. He was their leader. We're going to find in verses 4 and 5 that he prays. May I say this? It's always a good thing to go to the Lord in prayer. Let me reread to you verses 4 and 5. Verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. He prayed and asked God to put them in their place. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have prayed that before. God, why don't you put them in their place? Lord, why don't you step in and do something? Here we find that Nehemiah did not allow himself to be detoured from the work by replying to their words. But we note that the Lord had heard the sneering taunts of Sanballat and Tobiah, and he would deal with them in his own way and in his own time. And we'll find out more about that in a few weeks. We must remember that Nehemiah was praying as a servant of God concerning the glory of God. I believe it's very important that we remember to pray asking that the Lord's will be done. Not our will, but his will. The Lord has a plan, and though we may not understand it, there is a plan afoot, even with this coronavirus issue. There is a plan, and God is in control. He was not requesting personal vengeance, but official vindication for God's people. He was there because he believed in the Lord Jehovah, the creator of the universe, the one who had chosen the children of Israel. They were the apple of his eye. He had brought them out of Egypt into the promised land. And so he wanted the people to know that he served an awesome God. In reality, Sanballat and Tobiah were in opposition against the Lord Jehovah. And then in closing, we look there at verse 6. I mentioned last week that I think this is the key verse in this book. It is a key verse for all those who are wanting to do the Lord's will and to get the job done. And let me reread verse 6 for you. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The work was accomplished. The work was completely done. The work was accomplished because they worked together. It was accomplished because the people had a mind to work. They purposed to get the task done, no matter what. They aimed at the target and hit it squarely. One has well said, if you aim at nothing, you are sure to hit it. May I say this? Let's aim at something. Let's have a desire to get the job done. Let's use our time that the Lord has allowed us to serve him faithfully. Let's have a mind to work. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we pray for those who have listened tonight that they will have been blessed and encouraged. We ask, Lord, that soon we could be back together, and we know that unless something dramatically changes, we will be back together soon. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.